greetings from Encourage Men in Ephrata just about right now. There's probably around 100 men together at Cornerstone doing the same thing that you are. And we're one lesson behind you, so we're doing lesson 20 today at Ephrata and 21 here. I don't believe it's the coffee and donuts that bring you out this morning so early, is it? But there's something about men getting together and being able to sharpen each other and just look at the issues of life and share them together. I have really enjoyed encouragement. It has done a lot for me personally. And I also see it doing a lot for other men that are participating. Today we're going to look briefly at 25 ways to be a servant leader in our marriage. If you're single here this morning, you can listen and prepare your heart for that special person that God has in your life. So I was preparing this, I came to the realization that I have not achieved all of these 25 ways of being a servant leader that I've been talking about this morning. First of all, what we'd like to do is just review marriage at the core. You would have had this, I think, in the last two lessons. Husband and his wife one and husband and his wife two. Two equals, but with different functions. The wife, she is to be a helper or a rescuer, while he, and she nurtures, she brings nurturing into the marriage and offering care and support, while the husband is the head and leadership role, bringing courage and responsibility. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we have 25 ways of being a servant leader this morning, and I'm not sure what time I'm supposed to be done, but anyhow, 20 of, is that where you're at? Okay. And it feels like there's a lot of material we need to cover in a short period of time, so I'm not going to spend a lot on review. Only to say this, there are four needs of a woman in a marriage relationship, and I'm going to review them briefly. One is companionship. She needs a friend that she can share deeply with in the relationship. Women are strong emotional creatures, and you would have strong relational creatures, and you would have been talking about that in the previous sessions. They're designed to be nurtured and to nurture. She also needs security. She needs to know that she is safe in the relationship with her husband, and that includes her finances. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that later. There can be no hidden secrets. And I, this thing of hidden secrets, working with a couple here some time ago, you know, he was doing things and she didn't know anything about it, and she was doing things and he didn't know anything about it, and there were secrets in their relationship. And it just disrupts security. Trust just reduces to almost nothing in many times in those cases. Your wife needs to know that she is secure. She also needs to know that she is significant. She needs to know that she is valued. Lots of praise and honor from her husband. She is the most important person. She needs to know. She needs to know that she is the most important person in your life. And the fourth one is the emotional responsiveness. Your wife needs to have time with you, for you to listen. They want to hear those words, "I love you." The question I would ask, do you know your wife's love language? Do you know what, you know, do you know what it is that touches her? What is her love language? Well, summarizing this, the head, you being the head of your wife, what she needs is a servant leader. Now, I think Tuesday mornings ago, you would have talked about the top-down model, the 50-50 model, and also the side-by-side model. I think last week you would have had talk more about the side-by-side model. What they're describing is a servant leader. Now, this is not a person that rules keeps everybody under their thumb, but rather it's a side-by-side relationship and working together as a team. You are given, men, you are given this noble responsibility. And it's not only is it a noble responsibility, but it is also a noble adventure. Did you know that when you married three people? The one who you thought she was, the one who you learned to know that she is, and the one who she has become. Now, for some of you to maybe realize all of that, you need a little more, some more years in marriage, but that is very true. We think sometimes we know who we married, and then we discover really who we married, and then we realize who she's become. And you, as a servant leader, have a tremendous impact on who she becomes. I said earlier that this assignment that you have is a noble adventure. It is both thrilling and terrifying all at the same time. talking about a servant leader and one who does not rule, but rather serves in the role of leadership in the home, I think one of the key elements to that is that we build relationships with our children, we build relationships with our wife. Rather than controlling them, we're working from a platform of developed relationships. And there's a certain amount of risk involved with that. But you know what, friends? It has a much deeper, meaningful experience than when we just rule in our homes. I think in our circles, in our conservative circles, we've done very well with a top-down approach. And I believe a more biblical approach is the side-by-side, which you would have talked about last week. Well, we have these 25 ways to be a servant leader. We're going to move through these rather quickly. There's just a lot of material here to cover. Are you up to the challenge? I hope so. One word of caution before we look at these, I would say this. Don't try and do these or make changes all at one time. Pick out maybe a few that you can start with and begin to work with them. You heard the story of the guy who went home and he was all excited. He said, I'm going to bring changes. After he attended some encouragement meetings, he's going to change some things in his home. He said, we're going to do things different now. And he was all excited about what she was going to bring. Well, he didn't see her for a whole week. And after a week, he got just a little glimpse of her as the swelling in his eyes began to go down. So don't go home and try and change everything all at one time. But just pick out a few things that might be meaningful to you and be helpful to you, and work at those. All right, the first one, a servant leader includes his wife in envisioning the future. If you're a servant leader, you are taking your marriage relationship and your children that follow you somewhere, okay? I'm saying if you are a servant leader, you are taking your wife, you're taking your children, and you are leading them somewhere. The question is, where are you leading them? Do you know where you're leading them? Men, sit down with your wife and discuss what you want to give or where you want this relationship to go. How many of y'all have been to Cracker Barrel? Y'all see those rockers sitting on the front porch? They have those rockers there to sell. Well, you know what? My wife and I have two of them. I don't know, they didn't come from Cracker Barrel, but they're like those at Cracker Barrel. You know what I enjoy the most in the summertime? Is to sit out in the back porch with my wife and just talking. Just talking. And just a time, sometimes we're just sitting there, you know, sitting there rocking, that's all. But just to spend time with her in the back porch. And so we can talk about what some of our dreams are, what our plans are, what our activities look like for the following week, and how we can involve each other and how we can help each other, and just spend time together talking. You know, I tell clients still that they all need a pair of rockers from Cracker Barrel. and they need back porch time, I call it. And I think it's important that we as servant leaders include our wives while we envision the future. What are your hopes or dreams for your children? What are some goals you want to achieve in this marriage? He who has nothing to shoot for rarely misses. So if you're not shooting for anything, you probably won't miss either. You may need to take some time off and get away and, you know, just spend some time talking. Maybe you need to take some time and just go to a cabin for a weekend, or just maybe even just for a night. Just spend some quality time together and include your wife in the activities and what your thoughts are, what your plans are, what you're thinking about for the future. Men, envision the future of your marriage so you can help her to move and team together toward where you want this marriage to go. How is your wife going to be able to team with you if she doesn't understand and she doesn't feel the vision that you have for your marriage? Incidentally, at Life Ministries, we have a cabin available, a retreat available for couples during the week, Monday through Thursday. And if you'd like to do something with your wife sometime, there's an opportunity for you just to rent the cabin for a night or two, just for you and your wife to spend some quality time together. Well, number two, a servant leader accepts spiritual responsibility for his family. Men, you are called the pace setter for your family, spiritually. I've had many men tell me, my wife is the spiritual leader in our home. She's the spiritual one in our family. If you want to be a servant leader, and I believe that God has called you to be a servant leader, you need to be the one that accepts the spiritual responsibility in the family. Why is it true that so many men become lackadaisical, I guess, or become lazy when it comes to being the spiritual leader? One of the things that I was reading some material in preparing for this, Robert Lewis, who from Men's Fraternity, discovered that the women were the ones that were going to seminars, and the women were the ones that were going to group Bible studies and things like that, and they were getting a lot of spiritual input while the men were not. And I challenge you, be the spiritual, accept the responsibilities in your home. You are to be the one to be discussing the importance of spiritual things in your home. You are the one who should be growing in the deep things of God. That when it comes to making decisions, you have a spiritual perspective and a foundation to lead from. Not just because the church said it, or not just because this is the way we always did it, but you're leading your family from a spiritual foundation, and that spiritual foundation is yours. It takes courage, men. It's your responsibility to be a servant leader in the spiritual things in the home. And I think that's done in many ways. In looking at the materials that come into the home and just the personal time together as a family, altar time, and just the activities that are going on in the home. You men, as a servant leader, are called to take the spiritual responsibility. Number three, a servant leader is willing to say, "I'm sorry," and "forgive me" to his family. Why is it so hard, men? Why is it so hard to say, "I'm sorry"? And even maybe beyond that, to say, "I was wrong." A servant leader is willing to say, "I'm sorry, and will you forgive me?" to his family. I had to go to my children, I had to go to my wife a number of times and ask them for forgiveness for where I have wronged them. And a servant leader is one who's willing to do that. I believe there's a third step, and that is to say, "I will try not to do it again." And why is that so important? Because when I say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong," I will try not to do it again. I'm regretful for what I've done. I'm taking full responsibility for what I've done, and I'm also repenting of what I've done. And I've discovered in working with groups that generally in an apology, one of the things that we're looking for is that the person is going to repent. I was in a prison here back in December, and I was working with ladies, and most of them ladies have been hurt by men in this prison that I was in. And so we did, my wife and I did a little skit, and I used those same four questions. And you know, when they sat down, when they felt like they were served forgiveness, was when the person said, "I will try not to do it again," because what they heard was they're taking responsibility for what they've done. And men, we need to take responsibility for what we've done. I'm sorry, I was wrong. I will try not to do it again. And I believe, friends, that we need to be doing this with our wives and with our children. Number four, a servant leader discusses household responsibilities with his wife and makes sure they are fairly distributed. Well, I don't know about you, men, but when I come home from a day's work, I just like to sit down, you know, sit down and take it easy. And while she's getting maybe the meal ready or getting supper ready, I just want to sit in the chair and after a good meal, then just kind of go into neutral. Is that being fair to our wives? Is that really being fair to our wives? Guess what? She still has the dishes to do. She still has everything to clean up. There's other activities around the house that need to be taken care of. And we as men have a tendency, I think, to go into, like I said, neutral. Your wife's work is never done. When does she get to relax? Robert Lewis is suggesting here is that as servant leaders, we're aware, we're in tune with the household responsibilities and what needs to be done. And we as a servant leader, we as men in the home become involved in the duties, the tasks that need to be done. And to involve our children as it's appropriate for them to be involved in the activities and responsibilities in the home. Be alert to the work that needs to be done. Our wives work a lot of hours to take care of us, and they don't have that time, that relaxed time off times. Number five, a servant leader seeks the consultation of his wife on all major financial decisions. A banker, a church one Sunday morning in sharing time, this banker, he got the microphone. He said, "Men, I want to tell you something." He said, "I want you, as husbands, to teach your wives how to take care of a checkbook." And here he was, a retired banker, and somebody had lost her husband, and the wife came to him and said, How do I keep a checkbook? My husband always did it, always took care of it, and now he's gone, and I don't have a clue how you do this." And not just financial, not just the checkbook, friends, but we need to involve our wives in all of our major financial decisions. Does your wife know, you know, where you have investments, if you have investments? Does she know? Does she know what your financial position is? She needs to be a part of and educated in all the financial decisions, major investments and decisions about giving and budgeting. And I'll say this for myself. It's been very helpful to me. I bought some properties on public auction, and my wife and I will talk about it, and we will decide together what the price is going to be. And that has saved me. That has saved me a lot. there was one property that we were looking at, and it went more than what we had decided to pay. And would you believe, about a week later, there's another property that came up for sale that I had no clue was coming up for sale, and I would have rather had that one than the one from the week before. Had I just gone ahead and done my own thing, I probably would have wound up with a property that we, a week later, were wishing we wouldn't have had. I'm saying, have your wives involved in your financial decisions. Are they in tune with what's going on? I had a thinking of a young man here some time ago. He had a van, and this thing was giving a little trouble. He just got this idea. He's going to go buy something else. And he saw this Tahoe or a Suburban sitting on a lot somewhere, and he was going to buy this thing. He put a down payment on, went home and told his wife he wants to buy this car. And she said, well, does it have electric seats in it? He said, well, yeah, I don't know if it does or not. It turned out it didn't. She said, well, I don't want that. I don't want that. She said, you're much taller than I am, and every time I get in it and drive it, I got to adjust the seat every time. So I just want to have a button that I can push, and the seat adjusts and makes it more comfortable for her to drive. So he would have bought a vehicle for them to drive with something that she didn't even have any desire for. Involve your wives in your financial decisions, in your purchases. Number six, a servant leader follows through with commitments he has made with his wife. Your word to your wife is extremely important, and keeping that commitment will build trust with your wife. Don't tell your wife you're going to do something and then don't do it. Be sure that you follow through with all of your commitments. A servant leader anticipates the different seasons his marriage will pass through. And I found this to be interesting. And I'm just further along. I'm probably further along than what a lot of you are here this morning in my marriage. And we're in the third stage. First of all, as I was reflecting back on this, we had married, just Judy and I, my wife and I. There wasn't any children. We were free. Go do what we wanted to do and do, you know, when we wanted to do it and how we wanted to do it. And about 3 years later, Arlen was born. Well, now all of a sudden, there's another person in the picture here. And our family, you know, we became a family with a small child. So there was the time when it was just my wife and I. Then there was a time when we had children. And now we find ourselves where our three oldest ones are married. Our youngest one is 22, and she's kind of in and out of the house. She's at Camp Andrews over the summer, March to October, and then she's back in our house in the winter. And depending if she's at Bible school or wherever she's at, I mean, so she's kind of coming and going. So we have this empty nest syndrome, okay? And my wife and I are excited about the season that we're in right now. The season when we're free to be involved in ministry. And so there's the season when there was just my wife and I, the two of us. Then there was the season when there was children. Now we have the season where they're mostly out of the house. And oh, we have this other piece of this, and that's the grandchildren. Oh, we love the grandchildren. I love to see them come. But you know what? After a while, I love to see them go. About January, we babysat two of our grandchildren for a week. Their parents went on a trip. And that was an excellent time for me to build relationships with my grandson and my granddaughter. And we had a great time together. And I took my grandson out to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh, he loves that. And just spent some time with him. I took him along to preach. I was preaching in the church for the weekend. And took him along. He said, Grandpa, he said, I never heard you preach. He said, I want to hear you preach. I thought, wow, coming from an eight-year-old, it's kind of amazing. So I had the message on Sunday morning. And I sat down. He said, Grandpa, that was a great message. Oh, I tell you, grandpas love to hear that stuff. And that's the season we're in right now, all right? We're in this third phase. Then there's a fourth season when and I saw this happen with my parents. I should say my wife's parents. My father-in-law was in his mid-80s, as I remember, and he started with Alzheimer's, and where there was a time, there was a lot of care needed, and we move into a season to where we care for each other, and spend a lot of time just caring, just caring for each other. So there's four seasons, and the servant leader anticipates that there are various seasons in marriage. A servant leader anticipates the different stages his children will pass through. And our first was, we had a son. A year and a half later, we had a daughter. 3 years later, we had another daughter. Then there was a nine-year gap, and then we had another daughter. So we had like three children, and it was in this nine-year gap, and then we had April. And Arlen was 15 when April was born. And so the needs, what April had was much different than what our 15-year-old son had, or his needs. The same was true with Linnell, who was 13, and Lori, who was 9 or 10. I'm saying the needs for the children were much different. And a servant leader anticipates the different stages that children pass through in life, and they're happening simultaneously. In other words, we're not going through this together. We had a newborn, we had a 15-year-old at the same time. A servant leader anticipates that and recognizes the fact that there are different stages. Number 9, a servant leader frequently tells his wife what he likes about her. Ooh. Do you tell your wife at unsuspecting times, I love you? I appreciate this about you. Your words of love and affirmation energizes your wife, and she will be empowered to honor you. Not like the man who told his wife on the wedding day, you know, honey, I love you. If that ever changes, I'll let you know. All right? Tell your wife what you appreciate about her. I think later there's one here about some other types of appreciation, but be careful what you say about just her looks. Because you know what's going to happen? They're going to change. But the qualities that she brings to your life, tell your wife how much you appreciate them, and tell her what you like about her. Last night, I got home, and she had macaronis with brown butter on. Ooh, I love that. And then she had some carrots, those little carrots, boiled with brown butter on. Ooh, I love that. I told my wife, I said, thank you, honey, for a good supper. They need to hear that. They need to hear from you things that you like about what she does and what she does for you. A servant leader provides financial for his families. Basic, underline that word, basic living expenses. I know that there was a discussion earlier in the series about finances. Your wife needs to know that she's going to be provided for by her man. She'll respond with admiration and trust when she feels financially cared for. But I just want to say a little bit about the basic human, basic family needs. I don't know how to say this, only to say this, that when I grew up as a boy at home, we had the basic needs. We had running water in the house. We had central heat. And then my wife and I got married, and then we had more resources. And, of course, you know, we added some things to our life. And now I'm watching the next generation, and the toys, you know what I mean when I say toys? Are those basic needs? I'm only saying this out of concern. A servant leader provides financially for the basic needs of the family. And I wonder what our children, our grandchildren, my grandchildren, what's going to be normal for them when they grow up. You know what I'm saying? What feels this generation today seems to have as basic needs was much different than what the basic needs were when I was a boy. And we have a lot more resources available to us than we did some years ago. And what are we doing with that? What are we teaching our children? What are we teaching our children as being the norm when it comes to basic living expenses? A servant leader deals with distractions so he can talk with his wife and family. This means that you lay the newspaper down or book down when you're reading to share with your wife. My wife would come to me, and she would want to talk to me. And I don't get the newspaper at home because of the distraction it was. I just spent too much time in it, so I quit getting it. And but I have books that I read and plenty of other material to read. And she'll come to me, and she said, you know, she'd like to talk about something. Well, I'm reading. Okay, I said, go ahead, I'm listening. Silence. So I lay the book down, and then she's ready to talk. A servant leader deals with distractions so that he can talk with his wife or with his family. You need the time to date your wife and children. You need time to ask good questions. You know, how are you doing? Especially the children, you know, how is life? How are you feel? How's school going? How's your schoolwork going? A servant leader wants to keep in touch, and you must be the one to initiate that. A servant leader prays with his wife on a regular basis. Most men feel intimidated in praying with their wife. First of all, I'm just suggesting is have a prayer life of your own. Pray audibly around the mealtime. And mention in your prayers their names so they know that they are on your heart and you care about them. Then also take time to pray with just you and your wife. Praying together and hearing each other cry out to God opens a level of intimacy that is, friends, absolutely incredible. A servant leader initiates meaningful family traditions. And I found this one to be interesting. I had to reflect back on our own marriage and our own children. Some of the most meaningful traditions are the ones that we take time to connect or do things together. And for us as a family, we're campers. We like to go camping. And we started out with just a tent, all right? And then we managed to get a little pop-up tent camper. And with the children, we would take them camping. We have a lot of good memories, a lot of good memories from just doing things together around camping. Well, then the children got to be older and started dating, and you know, it seemed to like take a kind of a back seat. And after they were married, they came to us and said, let's do that again. Let's go back to camping. And so we do that. Once a year, we get all the children together and we go up to Camp Hebron and rent a number of sites, and we just have a great time. Family traditions. Robert Lewis, in some of his work he's done, he told this story. And when all of his children turned ages 12 to 13, somewhere in there, he would initiate his children from moving from childhood to adulthood. And he would bring in, like a pastor, he'd bring in some of the family, maybe the grandparents, make sure the brothers and sisters were there, and had a celebration of acknowledging that his child was at the point where we're moving from childhood to adulthood. I wish I could have done that with my children. I did it with them later, after they were married, and we just spent time together, and I just prayed a prayer of blessing on each one of them. But this can be a family tradition for you, something that you do especially with each child, and just a time of blessing, moving them from childhood to adulthood. David said that when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away those childish things. And I take issue with this teenager thing. I looked it up on the internet here some time ago and discovered that the word teenager is only a 1960s Western term. It's something we as Westerners created it. And it's a period of time when our teenagers are confused between, are they adults or are they children? And sometimes we as parents don't know. I think we add to some of that confusion by simply not clarifying that. And so those special times, anniversaries, birthday parties, acknowledging their birthdays or celebrating their birthday. I had a couple friend who, for a wedding gift, gives the couple a silver box, empty box. And what they ask them to do is every year put something in that box that represents the character of the previous year. Okay, maybe something significant that happened in that year, put it in that box. Just put something in there that represents that. And after 10 years, after 15 years, after even 20 years, get that box out and just go through those pieces and reflect on events in your early years of marriage. Just a time of reflection, a time of looking back, and make that an anniversary, make that a tradition in your family. And I know I'm not going to get near done here if I don't go a little faster. A servant leader plans fun outings for the family on a regular basis. And this doesn't have to be expensive events, but picnics, just a number of things that we can do, fun times, just fun things. I know for us, like when our children were involved in the fine arts kinds of things in school, we went, they had their festivals, and we went to participate. But being involved in fun things that don't have to be expensive. A friend of ours, he worked for MCC, and they couldn't afford a lot of trips. So what they would do as a family on an evening, they'd get out a map, and he would take his fingers, and he would just go, they're going this road here, now they're going this road, and they're going over here. And they would talk about taking a trip just by sitting around the table and, following the road, following the map to different cities, different places, and talk about what they would be doing there. And so they spent a lot of time together just, working through trips that were right there at the kitchen table. But there were those fun kinds of times. Servant leader plans fun outings for his family on a regular basis. A servant leader takes time to give his children practical instructions about life, which in turn gives them confidence with their peers. And this is an important one. Men, don't let your children guess at life. When they don't know how to deal with life issues, they feel foolish, they feel inadequate. You need to teach them the basic things in life. They need to learn how to dress, good etiquette, skills, cleanliness, how to use a checkbook, how to socialize, say or write nice things, thank you notes, how to give a healthy handshake, or even a hug, care for animals, how to make their bed, boys how to appropriately interact with girls and girls with boys. There are many things to learn how to do, and not only what to do. I've done some premarital counseling, a number of couples, premarital counseling, and we always try to have them over for a meal. And often have the parents there. Well, this one couple, he was never taught a lot of just good etiquette, okay? And so they're sitting there at our table, and he's kind of leaning in over, and he's kind of, scooping it up, and she goes, she had to teach him things that he should have learned at home. And it was interesting to watch. But I felt sorry for him. It just gave me a window into what his family life was like and what was going on at home. He was getting a spoon of food, and she bumped him. And he stopped. He goes up, looks around. And he was embarrassed I felt so sad for him. But teach your children at home how to relate in life and just good practical instructions about life. A servant leader manages the schedule of the home and anticipates any pressure points. And just be aware of the busyness that we create in our lives and how that affects good quality interaction. We live in a community where life is very, very busy. And if we're not careful, we have two things happening at one time, three things happening at one time in our families. And be aware of those kinds of things. Be aware where the pressure points are, where there's going to be conflict, where there's going to be, require particularly special interaction or needs to meet the needs. Be aware of the pressure points in your life. A servant leader keeps his family financially sound and out of harmful debt. A servant leader keeps his family financially sound and out of harmful debt. The number one cause of marital difficulties is financial stress. Right now, we're going through a financial correction. I don't think that's new to you, but we're in a downturn, economic downturn. They would like to have us believe we're at the bottom. I question that. Nevertheless, we're in a downturn, and a servant leader doesn't put his finances in harm's way. In other words, he doesn't finance himself to the point that when something goes wrong, that he's in trouble. He prepares for the downturn in his finances. Make sure your spending has reasonable objectives. Over time, life will provide you with the wonderful things at the appropriate time. You know, we live in a world, friends, where you can get most anything you want with zero down. Pay later. And it's only a matter of time until the payments start coming, the bills start coming. And particularly things we don't need, the toys I talked to about later. There might be a time in life when you'll be able to afford those kinds of things, and then it may be appropriate to buy something like that. But let's be careful about what we're financing and how we finance it. Think about what you're teaching your children when you purchase items and it's not affordable. What is the lesson, what is the message that you're sending to your children? Don't overspend to get these wonderful things at an inappropriate time, at a time when you can't really afford it. A servant leader makes sure he and his wife have drawn up a will and arrange a well-conceived plan for their children in case of death. I would ask you the question, do you have a will? What would happen to your wife and or children if you were to die today? Do you have a plan? Is it clear? One thing I really appreciated about my dad, they were in their latter years of life, and dad had a farm, and he swapped that on some apartments and stuff, and dad sat down with my brother and I one day, and we went to the attorney, and we talked about a plan, an estate plan, and talked about his will, talked about a medical power of attorney. And it was difficult for dad to sign the medical power of attorney because the medical power of attorney says that if you're incompetent, we can make decisions for you. And you want to make sure you have that in the hands of someone that you really can trust. But I really appreciated when dad passed away, there was no questions. We all knew what the plans were. We all knew how it was going to be handled. It was clear. And it was all spelled out very clearly. It made it very easy for my brother and I to handle the estate after mother passed away. And so I asked you the question, have you spelled out, what your wishes are after death? And for some of us, that happens later in life. For some of us, it can happen much earlier in life. And do you have a plan for your children? Do you have a plan? Who's going to be caring for your children if something would happen, if God would call you and your wife home early? A servant leader lets his wife and children into the interior of his life. Tell your children stories. Tell them what you like, what you did when you were growing up, and make it into a story. That allows them to experience what it was like for you when you were young. You know, and that's something I wish. My father, his dad passed away when he was 8 years old. And so my dad didn't know his father very long. What was it like for him to be, to grow up in a family without a dad, with his mother and older sisters? A servant leader honors his wife often in public. How do those around you know that you love your wife and that you're committed to your wife? How do you compliment her, and how do you confirm your love for her and your commitment to her? She's yours, and you're not interested in any other. She has many gifts and contributions and contributes lots to your life and to your marriage. Give her credit for it. She's the queen, and treat her like a queen when you are at home and when you're in the public. I don't mean this mushy kinds of stuff, but I mean just words of affirmation, just times when you can speak into how much you appreciate what she does for you, how much you love her, so the public knows that she's yours and you are committed to her for life. 21, a servant leader explains sex to each child in a way that gives a wholesome perspective. I don't know if you have done that here. I didn't talk to you, Vernon, about that, but we made some books available for men to be able to talk through to their children, explain to them their own sexuality and what it means, what God had intended for that. I never had that with my dad. My dad never did that with me. I remember doing it with my son when he was 10 or 11 years old. I appreciated the testimony of a younger man here some time ago who said his father explained his sexuality to him as a young person. And later on, when he was with some of his peers, some of his cousins, some of his friends, and they would begin to talk about and kind of make light of the whole subject of their own sexuality. Well, to him, it was explained to him, and he had a whole different perspective and understanding of what his sexuality was all about. And he appreciated and realized that it was something that we keep for when we're married, for a wife. And it didn't catch him by surprise. And he didn't learn it from behind the barn. You know what I'm saying? From the wrong kinds of people. And men, a servant leader explains sexuality to each child in a way that gives them a wholesome perspective of their own sexuality and what God's purpose is for that. A servant leader encouraged his wife to grow as an individual. Ask questions like, what would you like to do with your life? And I'd ask her questions. What are her dreams? For my wife and I, we're at a stage in life where we don't have all the responsibilities anymore, and I'm at Life Ministries. My wife serves at Lydia Center, a women's facility here in Wrightsville. And, you know, something she wanted to do, and I wanted to facilitate that for her. She also does chalk drawing. I asked her to do chalk drawing some time ago, and I wanted her to excel in that. And so I helped her get classes, and I built a easel and helped her, because I wanted her to succeed. I wanted her to excel in her gifts. And friends, as a servant leader, we need to encourage our wives and grow as an individual and help her to grow. A servant leader takes the lead in establishing with his wife sound, biblical, supportable family values. What are your common values as a husband and wife, as a family, that you hold together? Values in finances, your values in your view of God, your values of debt, your values of life in general, your values in death. What are the values you have for your children? These need to be clear so you can deposit them in your marriage and into your children. A servant leader joins a small group of men who are dedicated to improving their skills as a man, husband, and father. And I just want to say congratulations. You're here this morning. This is part of that process. But men, we need other men in our lives. I wish over the years that I would have had other men in my life. I was in a business and had men help me with business world, that kind of stuff. Yes, but I wish I would have had men in my. I don't know how many times I've asked different men, "What does it mean to be a man?" I wanted to know, "What does it mean to be a man?" You know what they couldn't tell me. So many men could not tell me what that meant. So I'm saying a servant leader joins a small group of men who are dedicated. And the last one, a servant leader provides time for his wife to pursue her own personal interests. And, you know, our wives need space. Whatever space you provide for yourself to pursue your own interests, your wife needs equal time to pursue her interests. We men spend time in hobbies, sports, personal interests, ourselves. You know, what about our wives? How do we facilitate time for them to pursue some of their interests? When does she get time to spend away for her interests, uninterrupted by family responsibilities? So men, as a servant leader, you provide time for your wife to pursue her own interests. And that is number 25. That is the last one. Thank you very much. God bless you in your journey as a servant leader.